So today we have a new pasuk, Eishes Chein Tismoch Kavoid Ve'oritzim Yismuchu Oisha. Yismuchu Toimech, like Toimech Tmimim. Eishes Chein supports, underwrites Kavoid Ve'oritzim Yitmuchu Oisha. Oritzim, Rashi says, B'nei Edoim. Miskalvim etzel gneivos mamon vegezel. Because oritz is a negative term. But it's interesting that other mefarshim do not learn the word oritz that way. But Rashi learns that there's a parallel here. As I mentioned, a great deal of the parallels in the two halves of a pasuk and mishle are positive and the negative. The comparison between the two. So according to Rashi, that's exactly true of this pasuk as well. Eishes chein titmoch kavod is positive, varitzim yitmuchu osher is negative. And what kavod are we talking about? So Rashi says in the first part of the pasuk, titmoch kavod, Knesset Yisrael, she is the eishes chein, tekarev tamid likvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'tayrasa. She nears, she becomes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she underscores or underwrites HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and therefore she is the Eishes Chein. But Aritzim, B'nei Edom, Miskav Meitzel, Gnevitz, Mamon, V'gezel. So even though Osher doesn't say in the Pasuk that Osher is a negative thing, it's not talking about Osher that's stolen, Beferish, but Rashi interprets it that way. In other words, if you chase after Osher, there's a good chance that sooner or later you're going to end up stealing it as well, because that's your value, you never have enough, and before you know it, you're taking from everybody else. So the Eishes Chein is Knesset Yisrael, Aritzim is B'nai Adoim, and this is the contrast. What are you chasing after? You're chasing after Torah and Mitzvahs, or you're chasing after Mom? And Memele, you become Gazlonim. Remember that when the different Umayis were approached by the Rebbeinu Shlom by Kabbalah Satayra, Chazal tell us that the Umayis asked Mike Sivba, and based on the fact that they could not keep those particular inyonim that were especially problematic for them, they rejected the entire Torah. The Malbim, Eishes Chein, so he speaks about the word Aritzim in a negative term as well, in a negative sense. He doesn't speak about Knesset Yisrael and Umas HaOlam, but he does speak about the positive and the negative. And this is what he says. Shtei amaylos, oishe v'chovet, kishehen matna salikim, bo tamit smuchim. V'hu, im mishtamesh b'matnas oishe lasis chesed utztok of a toiv, sh'oz yinchal gam kovet. K'she yavoyu nifrodim, oz ha-kovet hu ma'ayla, v'hu, im roi lichvoy l'kovet al yidei midoysav v'ma'ayloysav. V'oishe p'chisos, Im yasigeyu al yedei gezel b'chomosh, v'im yishtamish bo'i l'roya. Yitzayar po'i ke'elu shtei amayla yisayelu oimdim b'furadim, u'tzrichim ishi itmoch b'yodom. So he says a very interesting thing in his background, I'll explain it to you. The Malbim argues that Oish and Chavit appear all the time together. Right? Oirech yomim b'yamina, Pasuk in Mishlei Perek Gimel, we learned it, u'bismayla, bismayla Oish v'chavit. Right? Another pasuk later in Mishlei also brings together Oisher and Kavod. Chayim shel Oisher v'Chavod. So the idea, the Malbim says, why is Oisher and Kavod always coming together? B'vasachas. So it's the argument of the Malbim is that when it comes as a matana from the Ribbono shel Olam, and that is when you use your mamon for tzedakah v'chesed, the true kind of kavod that a person deserves comes in conjunction with it. In other words, Oisher brings to that kavod. But if the Oisher is separate from the kavod, you can still have kavod, but Oisher by itself, if it's not connected to kavod, meaning if it's not for the sake of Torah and mitzvahs, knocks a person down. So he has a very interesting idea. He says a person can have milus outside of the use of money, and the consequences of using the money might be negative, but he himself may have positive milus as well. But the kavod that comes together with Aisha in the Psukim, they're always talking about where the kavod is a result of the Aisha. So he says, what about this pasuk? He says, this pasuk is not a pasuk that brings Aisha and kavod together, but Lehefech separates Aisha from kavod. And it says, Aisha schein tismach kavod. A person can have kavod for what? For what reason? So he says, Al yedei midoisav u'ma'aloisav. V'ha'aisha u'pechisus im yasigeyu al yedei gezel v'chomos v'im yishtamish boi l'roya. So he says, Yitzayir Pai, the Pasuk in Mishlei is describing here, Ke'ilu shtei amailus ha'ilu oimdim mefuradim, utzrichim ish sheyitmoch biyodom, haynu, bal ha'kinyon, sheyachzik b'mailus ha'ilu. Ve'esh eschein tismoich es ha'kovid v'atzaloyma, ein tzorich anoshim giboirim l'tomchoy. Kihulo yusag al yedei aritzus, rak ish ha'toyva, shemaseg eschein al yedei ma'aseh ha'toyvim, Oy, lefi hamelitza nefesh yikara toiva bechochma, shehi ha'isha hamelitzius b'sefer hazeh. If it's talking about an isha mamish, it's identifying the inyan of kavod with subtleties, with sensitivities, with midos that don't require gvura, but lehefech. It's the soft part of the midos. And that's the comparison to an Isha, or the Isha is a melitza to the Nefesh, the inyan of Nefesh Yikara V'Toiva V'Chachoma, that the Pasuk in Mishlei in general always identifies with an Isha. They use the word Isha when they mean the Nefesh Yikara V'Toiva. V'aritzim sheheim ha-mishtam shem b'korach ha-gvura shaloi b'mishpat la'aretz dalim heim yitmachu es-ha-isha. So what the Malbim is struggling here with is the pasuk in its entirety positive, then aritzim is a negative word. So what is aritzim doing here? So he says, no, it's not completely positive. Half is positive, half is negative. He says that in the midah of Aisha, when it's not connected to proper kavod, it means that the Aisha was ill-gotten. The gains and the success is al yedei gezel and chamas. And it always requires the support of nasty, miserable people. And the other hand, kavod can exist by itself, he said. And kavod is the chashivus of the person in his midos and milos. So nochamo, it's hard to press the point of the Malbim. I'll tell you why. What I mean to say is a lot of times you feel personally that you resonate with what the Mefarish is saying. Malbim does not need our gushpanka. He doesn't need our stamp of approval. He stands very well on his own 2 feet. But sometimes you feel very comfortable in repeating something. And I'll tell you what's bothering me about this. Because you see, if a person is a gazlan, and therefore his Aisha is ill-gotten, then legabe him, any kavod. You speak about his midos toivos and his milos and his kavod, I find that very hard to split the person in half like that. So I think what the Malbim probably is trying to say is this. When Aisha and kavod come together, that's because the kavod that they're speaking about is related to the Aisha. So in a chanami, there are people who don't have any money and are not interested in money and don't chase after money either. Their kavod obviously comes from elsewhere. The main source of kavod, we have in Pirkei Avos, ein kavod ela Torah, shenema kavod chachomim yincholu, right? So chachomim yincholu, as I said many, many times. Ki loyla chachomim lechem, that's one of the mefarshim. Loyla chachomim lechem. So where does their kavod come from? It comes from Torah. They're not going to get kavod because they're famous for supporting things or helping people because they don't necessarily have any money. But there's one source of kavod which they constantly have, in the Maisut Rabbi Akiva. They were shipwrecked and they went to a town. Nobody knew from them. He started talking Torah and they acknowledged him as a big Talmud Chacham, and all of a sudden he was the top person in the town. So kavod and Torah are associated with one another without having anything to do with money at all. So when kavod is by itself, you could see kavod as midos and milas tovus, you could see it as Torah, and so on and so forth. When kavod comes together with osher bedafka, and it's joined together like that, it's the kavod, says the Malbim, that is accrued on account of osher. Now, when does kavod come on account of osher? So he says, if you do tzedakah and ma'asim tovim with your money, then the kavod that you have, which you truly deserve, he means the kavod that's genuine, not the person who steals and robs and makes believe he's a big tzaddik and he gets all the kibudim and so on and so forth. We're talking about real kavod. So the real kavod comes from the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that he does. That's why osher and kavod, when we say chayim shel osher v'chavod, the Malbim is saying that's what we mean. A life which will give us the opportunity to help and to support through the means that we have, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us as a gift, as he says, which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Shehei matnas elokim, bo tamid smukim, then the kavod that comes together with it is a genuine kavod. When kavod is separate, it's for other midos, and it doesn't have to be in a person who's rich. When mammon is separate, that's not good. Because mammon by itself, when it's not leading to kavod, is a simen that mammon is ill-gotten, and the person that is chasing after it is called in this pasuk an oritz, ayin reish yud tzaddik, which is anoshim giborim. He's talking about like Nimrod, you know, he's not talking about anoshim giborim, you know, that like Rish Lakish, but he's talking about giborim in the sense of people who are tough and mean and miserable and use their force and their power to get their way. So that is the pshat according to the Malbim. The tzad hashoveh of the Malbim and Rashi is that they understood aritzim in a very negative sense. Rashi learns aritzim means the umas ha'olam that are gazlonim, and the Malbim says yechidim who are gazlonim, but it's essentially the same thing. So according to both of them, the pasuk is paralleling the positive contrast in contrast with the negative. The positive is eishes chein tismoch kavod, and again the Malbim says that eishes chein means a subtle, gentle kind of midah, and that's why it's associated with an isha. And tismoch kavod, when kavod is not associated with money, there can still be kavod, and that kind of kavod is positive. Lafuke the osha when it stands by itself and does not lead to the kind of kavod that is good. That's a simon that the osha take of kaparas, and therefore the osha must be coming from aritzim who support it and underwrite it. That's their agenda, that's their value. So, all right, for a person who's not resonating with the Malbim, I did a pretty decent job of explaining it. Now, the Maisa, the Goin learns entirely differently the word aritzim. If you take a look at the last part of the grub, the Ramaz v'aritzim yismuchu osher, shehu darshe ha-toyra. Ha-aritzim heim toimchim, v'heim talmidim charifim, shal yodom nase osher, shememelo rav choshmaitza. It's a pellet de gazach. He learns that aritzim, you can't get away from the fact that the word aritz means a gibor, a tough guy. So what is the aritz in Torah? What is a positive aritz? So he says these are the tough talmidim that press you and don't let you go. And they keep questioning and questioning and questioning. And of course, what is the consequence of all of that? That the Rebbe has to respond, and memela rav choshmaitza. This phrase of rav choshmaitza, of course, is a very famous phrase. All of you know the story behind it, even though you may not realize it. This is, of course, the Gemara in Bava Metzia daf Pei Daled Amud Aleph, very famous Gemara. The Gemara tells us the whole story of how Rabbi Yochanan encountered Rish Lakish, right? Very famous story. And then the Gemara tells us that when Rish Lakish, well, they became this incredible chavrusa, and Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish all over Shas. So he became his brother-in-law, he gave him his sister to marry, and, you know, Shufruch Lanashia, Cheol Choli Araisa, they became chavrusas, and they learned together for many, many years. Eventually, Rabbi Yochanan outlived Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish was nifter, and Rabbi Yochanan was extremely miserable. So the Chachamim looked for someone to replace Rish Lakish, Ke'ilu, and they wanted somebody that was very sharp to be able to contend with Rabbi Yochanan, the way Rish Lakish used to do. No, so who did they look to? Rabbi Elazar ben Pados. So Rabbi Elazar ben Pados, because the Gemara says, Mechadid in Shmaitzeh, he was very sharp. So, it was a wonderful shidduch, they thought. We'll bring Rabbi Elazar ben Pados to learn with Rabbi Yochanan, and then he'll be like right back of our Rishonah, at least a little bit like Rish Lakish. What happened? Rabbi Elazar ben Pados had fantastic respect for Rabbi Yochanan, and truly believed that whatever came out of Rabbi Yochanan's mouth was Torah, and all he needed to do was to... So what was his role? In other words, what is he going to contribute then? He's going to underwrite and underscore the truth of Rabbi Yochanan's statements by quoting him Mekoiris. And since he was very sharp, he could find a place somewhere, Kivayochel in Shas, which seems at first to be not relevant, and he would show that this is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. So this was he perceived that this was his role, and this was his contribution to the Chavrusa. So anyhow, whenever Rabbi Yochanan said something, so he brought what we call a Tanya de Misayeya. That's exactly what the Gemara's lashon is, Tanya de Misayeya loch. Anyhow, Rabbi Yochanan, instead of being excited that he was corroborated all the time, was super miserable, and he walked around rending his garments in Admas Nefesh and Tsar, that he lost his Chavrusa. And he said that when I was with Rabbi, he says, Barlikisha, Barlikisha. He's like talking to him, to the Nifter. Barlikisha, Barlikisha, when you were around, when I would say something, you would ask me 24 questions and I would give 24 answers. And Mitoch Kach, of course, Rav Chashmaitza. That's the phrase of the Goyim. Rav Chashmaitza, the Torah would expand, the Torah would develop, the Torah would become full and complete. Now you're telling me Tanya Misayeh Alochs. Anyhow, don't you know that I already know that I said good? Right? So I don't need you for that. I need you to question me. I need you to challenge me. That's the Oritzim that the Vilna Gaon is talking about. You know what happened as a consequence of all of this? Rabbi Yochanan could not be subdued. He was tormented. And the Chachomim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should release him. And he was Nifter. So that altogether opens up a whole question. What's that all about? But in any case, that's the mice of Rav Chashmaitza. So the Vilna Gaon says here, Kamasha Amru, and of course this is a very famous expression, Habe Lamadati Meirab Boisai, Yoise Mechaveirai, Mitalmidai, Yoise Mikula. That's a Gemara in Tainis, Dav Zayin, whatever it is. Anyhow, so the Gemara there says that I learn more from than any other Makar from my own Talmidim. So what kind of Talmidim are we talking about? So these are the Oritzim Yitmuchu Osher. Osher is the richest of Torah, meaning the development of the depths and the complications that are elicited by the Talmidim Harifim. By the way, this is not in the notes, and I didn't intend really to mention it, but I just want to point something out to you. There's a Lashon HaRambam that always vexed me until I realized what the Pshat is. And I think that I'm going to quote it to you. Rambam has a whole perek of kavod that you're supposed to give to Rabbonim in general and to your Rebbe in particular, Rabbi Mufak. So at the end of that perek, the Rambam sort of creates a balance. And he says as follows. And it's very fascinating because the Lashon was what vexed me, what troubled me. The Rambam in Perek Hey Halacha Yud Beis, this Halacha Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, those are the two last Halachas in Perek Hey of Hilchos Talmud Torah. Kishem she Talmidim Chayovim B'Kvod HaRav, just as Talmidim Amachuyiv in the Kavod of the Rebbe, Kach HaRav Tzorich L'Kabed Es Talmidav U'L'Karvan. So the Rebbe is also Machuyiv to be Mechabed Es Talmidim. So first of all, it's not the same. How could it be the same when it's not the same at all? The no halacha that all the dinim that a Rebbe is deserves the kind of kavod and ein cholkin kavod l'talmid b'nei rav and on and on and on. I mean, none of these things have any relevance to a Rebbe towards the Talmidim. But it's much more than that. Philosophically, the kishen bothers me. I'll explain to you what I mean. Let's say there's a Mishnah that says that a father has all kinds of obligations to his son, right? He's mechuyev to do A, B, C, D. Mila, pidyon haben, teach him how to swim, whatever it is. Now, we also know there's a mitzvah of kibud avein, correct? But would anyone say, would anyone have a lashon, just like the son is mechuyev to do for the father, kibud avein, to serve him and this and this, so too the father has obligations towards the son? Never would say something like that. It happens to be true that the father has obligations, but it's not kishen. They have nothing to do with each other, and it's not comparable. Where is it comparable? I'll give you a very good example. The Rambam uses the same idea already before. When the Rambam started the fifth Perek, interestingly enough, and he wants to introduce the inyan of Kavod HaRav, so he uses Kishen. What does he compare Kavod HaRav to? Kavod of a father. Because the father brings him L'chaye Olam Hazeh, and the Rebbe brings him L'chaye Olam Haba. So if that's the case, what is the kashem? It's gevaldik, because both are tatis. It's mamish kashem. In fact, Chazal tell us, and the Rambam repeats, that avedas aviv, avedas rabbi, which comes first? Avedas rabbi, because a rabbi is mevil chayil mabo. So we understand the kashem is perfect. That's what the Rambam says, the beginning of Perek Hey. Kashem sha'odah mitzuba b'kvayt aviv b'yirasai, kachu chayu b'kvayt rabbi b'yirasai. But when the Rambam comes to the end of Perek Hey and he says Azal Oshin Legabe the Rebbe to his Talmud, we're just scratching our heads. Kesheim Shetalmidim Chayovim Bekvod Arav Kach Arav Tzorach Lekabed Es Talmidim Lekarva. Kachom Ruchachomim. He quotes right, and he quotes Chazal. So it's very nice. But what's the Kesheim? Kachom Ruchachomim Kvod Talmid Chachovim Alecha Kishel Chavei Recha. Vetzorach Adam Lizoya VeTalmid Avloyavim Sheim Habonim Hamahanim Boilam Azel Loilam Abba. So until now, we don't understand the kashem. But the next halacha explains the kashem perfectly, and I'll explain to you what the Rambam's idea was. A Rebbe legabi his Talmud does not have kashem. But the Rebbe legabi his Rebbein has kashem. And every Talmud, who's roi lekach, is a Rebbe of the Rebbe. In other words, when the Rebbe is giving cover to his Talmud, he's giving tall cover to the part of his Talmud that is the Rebbe of the Rebbe. Because every Talmud brings the Rebbe closer to the Emes. Every Talmud's question brings the Rebbe closer to the Nakuda that makes the Rebbe a better Rebbe, a bigger Talmud Chacham. So Memele, Talmidim are also Rebbeim. And the Rebbe, Chelek, of the Talmud has to be acknowledged, recognized, and cherished by the Rebbe. Ad kedei kach, that the Rebbe has to look at his Talmidim ke'ilu there in certain respects his Rebbein. Now how do I know that that approach is exactly what the Rambam had in mind? Because look at the next halacha, the last halacha of the Perek. Ha Talmidim moisifim chokhmas harav umarchivim liboy. Amru chachomim harbe chokhma lomadati mechaveira yoisim mirabaisai umitamida yoisim mikulam. Ukeshem she eats cotton madlik as a godol, kachtal mit cotton, mechade des harav, ad she yotzi mimenu bishe elosov, chokma mefora. That's the last words of the Rambam in this pair. So, what exactly is the Rambam saying? If not, that the Talmud is in that respect the Rebbe of the Rebbe. That's exactly what they were talking about with Rish Lakish. Bishe elosov. He asked 24 questions, he had to give 24 answers. And finally, the Nekuda Sa'emes, in all of its beauty and its pristine, genuine authenticity, came out only because of the Talmud. And the Mela, Mitalmida Yosemi Kulam, Habe Lomadati, I am a chuyev to give cover to whoever teaches me. And by the way, this is not just, by the way, in book learning. This is in life also. Many times I've felt Kibud Avim is a very difficult mitzvah. Everybody knows that. And as the father gets older and more complicated issues come up, and it becomes harder. It never becomes easier. And a person has to have rebbeim in life. So when sometimes things get a little bit difficult, I hark back to models that I saw even though I can also hark back to Gemaras that I learned. Because as much as the Gemaras tell me, but when you don't see it in real life, it's very hard to connect. Because when you're learning the Gemara, you're very comfortable in a base medrash, and there's a shakla v'tarya, and the most critical things in life turns out to be a problem with the places in the mash. Oh, you know, it becomes abstracted that way, and nothing is really eating your kishkis out. But then when it comes to the lamaisa of doing the mitzvah, and it becomes super difficult, and all of your energies and emotions are challenged, all of a sudden, so vos is yetz. Remember, Rav Soloveitchik used to say over and over, and this is from Mekoris, that Chochma Bina and Das, what's Das? Das is the reality of that halacha, of that Torah, in life. He said a person can be talking very nobly about Shabbos and wax poetic, but when he keeps the Shabbos, then you don't see it. And Lehefek, you sometimes see a simple person who keeps Shabbos, Ba'if and Nifla, you see that the Shabbos is impacting upon him in every possible way. That's Das. Anyhow, I had a Yid that's already a shofen offer, but I watched how he took care of his father and brought him to shul in the Lower East Side when I was the rabbi of the shul there in the downtown Talmud Torah. And he, it should be a zuchus for him, in Gan Eden, he used to take abuse like you never saw. He was a very, very powerful person, a doctor, a person who was used to people catering to him and listening to him and obeying him and respecting him. And when he was with his father, he was a shmata. First of all, his father made him a shmata. He used to abuse him in front of everybody because he was senile. And he would treat him with such silk, with such care. And it was something. So when you see something like that, that person becomes your Rebbe. Yes. If you're smart enough to know that you should that you need a Rebbe. Most people don't realize that they need Rebbeim in all kinds of things in life. That's why people very rarely come and ask etzes from people who are smart. Even if they know that they're smart. Because I can figure it out for myself. But the fact of the matter is that if you think in terms of this Rambam and extend it to life itself, then you discover an amazing thing. That all of the world can become your Rebbe if you allow it. It's a very interesting idea. In any case, that's what the Vilna Gaon is talking about. Let's narrow the focus a little bit when he says, "Mitalmida Yosem Mikulam." These are the Oritzim. Oritzim, according to the Gaon, is a positive word. But what does it mean? It means the tough Talmidim who don't let the Rebbe get away with it. You know, a lot of times, I will quote a Gemara. So there's one person particular here whose name I will not mention, who says, "Where is that Gemara? Or you skipped over that word, or what does that word mean?" And let me tell you, that person becomes your Rebbe. That's truth. And in the Mele, he ends up being the Rebbe of everybody else. Because one of two things has to happen. Either the person who's giving the shir is going to tell you where the Gemara is and explain the word, or he's going to scratch his head and say, "You know something? I don't know myself." And then he's going to have to go back to the drawing board, you know, with his tail between his legs, as they say. And that is a gvaldik kazach, because no Rebbe has the right to make to make believe that he knows if he taka doesn't. So therefore, if you have that kind of a Talmud, it could be mitalmida yosem mikulam, that person is called an oritz, according to the Gra, in a very positive way. Because a person who challenges, he's a person who's not satisfied, he's not happy, he insists, so there's a gvura in his questioning. Now, the Vilna Gaon here, in Eishes Chayin Tismach Kavod, first speaks about the Moshel, and then he speaks about the Nimshel. The Nimshel, Bezus Hashem, I hope to get to next time. I would like today to talk about the Moshel, because there's a lot to say, and there really isn't that much time left anyhow. So we'll have to split it in half. But what does the Gaon say? Eishes Chayin Tismach Kavod, Ki Ha'isha, this is the in the Bir HaGra, on page 1. Ki ha'isha ezer la'adam, k'mo shekosuv, esa lo ezer kenegdai. Where is this pasuk? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so esa lo ezer kenegdai. By the way, I just want to share with you my havana of this. But before I say that, I just want to point out something. In the Gemaras that we learn, and I bring it down, the Gemara says, shori b'lo isha in b'ma'arova amri, shori b'loi chayma, etc. Shori b'loi taira.
A person without a wife is with is dwelling without Torah. If he's dwelling without a wife, he's dwelling without Torah. Why? And they quote a pasuk. For each one of these things, they quote a pasuk. Shorid lechayim on the cave of the seven gavur. Gemara in Yevamos daf samach beis samach gimel. So the question is, why is a person without a wife without Torah? So the pasuk that they quote, samach beis amid beis in Yevamos, is a pasuk in Iyov. If ein ezrasi be v'sushia nidcha mimeni. If my ezrasi, what's ezrasi? My wife. Why is she called ezrasi? Esalayezer, right? If ein ezrasi be, if I don't have my Ezra, then Tushia, what's Tushia? Torah. Why is Torah called Tushia, says the Gemara? Sanhedrin, Shematesh es koichai shalodom. Interesting. And the Marsha connects the two, interestingly enough, as we have here. But the Pasuk says, if I don't have my Ezer, I don't have Tushia. Tushia is pushed away. Nidcha, like Iranidakas. Right? Vayadichu. It's pushed away. So the Tushia is lost upon me. I can't have Tushia unless I have my Ezer. That's what the Pasuk is implying. Now the question is why? What is she doing for you that Torah is something that requires her so desperately? That if you don't have her, then Tushia nidocha mimeni. So Rashi says, Imein ezrasi bi ishti. Diksiv Ezer Kenegdoi, Miyad, it's interesting, Rashi says, Miyad, Tushia Nidochem Nitcha Mimeni, Shetzarich Lasek Betzarche Beisoi, the Talmudoi Mishtakeach. Because he has to be busy with all kinds of stuff that takes him away from learning, and eventually forgets his Torah. Meaning, in other words, what? That the wife provides all the things, the amenities, the supplies, all the things that the person needs of his olam hazeh, his gashmius, his food, his clothing, and memela, he's free to learn. Eken zitzen and lernen b'menucha. Now that he has to take care of all of these things himself, so fashteitzach that he doesn't have the time to learn. So it's a very pragmatic, practical balabatisha explanation. Yes? Okay. Now, furthermore, is exactly what the Goyin says too. Look back at the Gra. Kiyisha ezer la'adam k'ma shekasuv es la'ezer kenegdoi v'amru b'meh isha ezrasai. So the Gemara says, Adam mevi chitin, chitin kaises. Person is working. What does he do? He farms. What does he do in his farm? He brings chitin. Does he eat the chitin? Chitin kaises? Does he chew the chitin? What happens to the chitin? It's ground up into flour, and what happens to the flour? It's made into bread. Who does that? The answer is the Isha. Pishtan, Pishtan Laivesh. These are all with exclamation points, question marks. Pishtan Laivesh. He wears the flax. He doesn't wear the flax. What happens to the flax? It's spun, and then it's woven, and it's made into begodim. Who makes the begodim? Again, the Isha. So that is the point. I point that on the bottom. It's also Gemara, the same sugya, the same Gemara. Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Ashkechei Reb Yisla Liyo. Look at footnote number one. It's hard to see, but footnote number one. Amalei ksiv es alei ezer b'mei isha izrasa la'adam. Amalei adam evi chitim chitim kaiseis, pishtan laiveis. Lai nimtzis mi'irein of mamidos al raglov. She's the one who makes everything happen. She's the lamaisa. So the Gong quotes this, and it's exactly what Rashi said. Rashi says, if she's gone, then all these things are also gone. So who's going to do all of this for him? Right? And that's Vizou, says the Gong, Kasha Yesh La'adam, Esh Eschein, He Tismach Lo HaKavod, Shehi Ezrasai. Now what exactly does it have to do with the word Kavod, asks the Gra. So the Gra is very interesting. He said before, Pishtan, Pishtan Laivesh. Does he wear the Pishtan? The Pishtan has to be made into the Godim. So he says, Eish Eschein Tismal Kavod is referring specifically to that. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan, it says in the Gemara, in two places in Shas, in Maseches Shabbos, and in Maseches Baba Kama, Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis is the sugya where they speak about the different malbush that he's supposed to wear, because the Pasuk says that Shabbos has to be different, the Pasuk in Shayo, right? That whole sugya. So they mentioned Rabbi Yochanan says, "Money mechabdusa, my clothing are my kavod." So that's the inyan of kavod. And this idea of money mechabdusa has a lot of remozim in the Zohar and Zohar Chodesh and elsewhere. But that's what it says over here. So this kulam. So the guy says that this is my cover. Very interesting. The Gra connects it to the Gemara, and the Gemara also talks about Chitim. But since it uses the word covered here, and covered refers to Begonim, so he says it's referring specifically to the Inyan of Pishtan Laivesh. He doesn't wear Pishtan, she makes the Begonim, and she makes his covered because he wears the Begonim that she weaves and knits and sews for him. So ich milt ge'at a gewaldike kasha. Not a kasha, you know, like a steer in the Gemara or a kasha of Svara, just a kasha from real life. Everybody knows that as much as a wife helps today, she also has a whole slew of responsibilities. But this is that is imposed upon you because you have a wife. Who is the one who said this Torah many, many centuries ago? Rechayim b'tzavaro v'yasok b'torah. In the pardon? Yeah, but I didn't mean to, you know. Yeah, they're nice. But what I mean to say is this is nishpan hands. But today it's even much more, because today you have a wife, but you also have a washing machine. How much time does it take for a person to clean his clothes today? He's holding the Gemara and he throws it in. All right, the wife could be mixed with the black, and it could be that it comes out full of stains or full of dye, full of lint. But even better, you go to the laundry, you hand them the peckle, and you say, "Take care of it," and they give it back to you later. You don't want to leave your house because you're busy running around with Lila. You call up the service, will come to your house. You call up Chapanash or Shabsman or this one or that one or wherever you go, and you call them and say, "Listen, I need a Shabbos." You call up Bagel Hall, you say, "I need a breakfast, you need a lunch, you need a supper." There's no problem. All you need is a full dollar. But the dollars anyhow came from him. No, I'm very serious about it. Because that's what the Rambam said. I mean, the Vilna Gaon says. The Vilna Gaon says that, you know, he, from the Gemara, he brings in the chitin. He never said that. She brought the chitin. So he brings the chitin. He brings in the dough. She bakes the bread. She makes the clothing. Today you go to a store. Here's $500. I want that suit. Check it for sharpness and bring it to my house. Then you go to the tailor. And in any case, somebody has to stand there. I mean, she has to measure him also. So where is the gewaltige gewinst today of having a wife in that respect? I'm not saying that wives don't have other mouths. But in that respect, no, I really want to understand. So but let me explain to you what was bothering me. What was bothering me is that why did they stop short? Why did they stop short? Is this it? That Tushia Nitcha Mimeni because Ein Ez Rosi Bi? Because as Rashi says, I mean, this is what Rashi says, Shetzarich Lasik B'Tzarchei Beisai. Because when he's on his own, he's Mechuyiv to be Isaac B'Tzarchei Beisai. So I'm asking Abaze, today 90% of that is removed. I'm not saying completely. And furthermore, to make the point stronger, although it's not necessary, but to make the point stronger, not only is most of the work that she could do, I could find an Eitza without her, but that because of her, I have much more work to do. A person is sitting and learning, and the pile of dishes goes bis in Himmel. Who does it shter? The wife comes in, she says, "The dishes are bis in Himmel. So what do you have to do about it?" So the answer is, well, you have a dishwasher, this and that, and she's really nice. She doesn't bother you about any of these things. There's stories about Rav Moshe, stories about Rav Yashiv, all these people who are phenomenal masmidim. The wives undertook never to bother their husbands. But not to bother their husbands for 1,000 days, or not to bother their husbands for 5 years, or whatever it is. Or never to ask the husband to mop the floor. Okay, so I understand. So there's a wife that does these things. But Fagel kemen kefen al di sozach. You can get a bunch of servants and they can take care from the top to the bottom. So what is it? That's what a wife is for? Now I have another corollary to this kasha. I'm going to leave you with the kashas. I'm going to come back to it next time. Blina de blishua, bezal no zain gesund. Let me tell you something. Rachel Eishes Reb Akiva is the model of supportive Torah for of a woman.
14 years.
If you don't have Rachel Eishes Reb Akiva, you should forgive me for being so blunt, you don't have Reb Akiva. So if the pasuk would speak about in A as Rasi B Kushia Nitzvah Nimei, so then Rabbi Isai, Rabbi Akiva's wife was the ultimate model of the person who provided him with food, with clothing. Rabban Adam Akush never even saw him. And when they eloped, you should forgive me, and they ran away, and she was written off, they had to be starving so that the Gemara in the Durim brings Elio Hanavi to the door in the guise of a person who's literally starving, so that when they, who at least had a little bit of straw and a place to sleep and a shikul bread, they should feel that they are okay. That they're not so desperate. He's going to give them a nechama by bringing an even worse off person to the door of the loft that they were staying in because they had to sleep amongst the haystack. So Rebbeinu Da'al-Makula, what exactly is she doing for him? What clothing is she making? She doesn't have clothing for herself. What clothing is she making for him? What food is she providing for him? No, what is she providing for him? His life. That's what she's providing for him. And if there's no Rachel, there's no Rabbi Akiva. There's no question about it. Rabbi Akiva would have been the same till the end as Shechenu Kachamor, and there wouldn't have been a Moshe Rabbeinu who says, who is this person? Zu Torah, Zu Sfarah? So explain to me, Rabbi Isai, when you have a model like that already in the Gemara, and when you have many more like that, and when you have all kinds of people who are perfectly capable of managing on their own. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi did not need a wife to be able to provide for him. He was so super wealthy that he used to open up his otzras b'shnas batzaris, as Gemara Baba Basra says. Parnaseini kekalavu ka'irev. Antonina Zarebi, le'pasak tznayim. What are we talking about? So this is what it is? So you could say, enochanami. Everyone's masking that there's much more to it. But the fact of the matter is that in those days especially, and for most people, this was indeed what they provided so that he had more time to learn and less and more yishuv hadas, less tirda and tircha. And in fact, to be honest, I quote on the next sheet, it doesn't have anything to do with the tshuva. The tshuva is about hilchos nida. But I just quoted it because I thought it was a gewaldic example of exactly what we're talking about in Rashi, but in real life. So he writes like this. Write that whole shtickle. It's a hakdama which excuses the delay of his writing. It excuses the delay of his writing. So he says like this. I got this letter of yours in time. It means that I got it a long time ago. Your letter did not get lost in the mail. But my Rebbetzin was not sick, she was geisus. After she was nifter and the days of the avelus passed, so now I can go back. Histargu alai quotes a word that comes from Megillah Secha. Histargu alai tirdos rabbis. Why? Why do I have all these tirdos all of a sudden? Ki ein es rasi bi v'tushia nidcha mimeni. So he says, taka ezoi. He says, without my wife, all of a sudden I was lost. I didn't know what to do next. The great Chasam Sefer. And then he adds something which I thought was very beautiful. The akrut. Akrut is Rashi Teves. For the good people of the community. The anoshim, you know, alufei kahal rashim v'toivim. So the akrut hischilu livnois beisi b'yesa seis. Apparently, they were building for the Rav a house, and once when the Rebbetzin got sick and whatever, so they got more involved. And when she was nifter, they really got involved. And since they got very involved, they needed to come to him for whatever questions they had or whatever. So he says that's also maisif to my tirda. So Mamela had a hard time, and I really whatever. But so he says, I don't even have my svarim and so on. But the untesh teshura is right. Ani metultul berichuk makom veinu shem sefer la'ayim boy. He doesn't have a sefer la'ayim boy. He writes a tshuva and bavish and bavish. You know that happens. You see a number of tshuvas like that from the gedolei olam. that they say, well, I don't have any sperm. But the Rivash has a tshuva where he says, you know, I don't really have my sperm, so I don't know what to say. And then he goes on into own the gila. Why doesn't he have his sperm? Because he's in jail. But for Maisa, you have a lot of tshuvas like that. But he writes, my Rebbetzin was nifter, and life is just not the same. That's what he writes. So there is that component. I'm not denying it. And even under the best of circumstances, there are a lot of things that you have to do. And there are all kinds of wives, Bisman has there. Some wives take care of all the business in Yonim, so you don't even know. And some wives don't know the Tzura of a Matbeah until at least they spend it. And that is, there are all kinds. But I'm asking Bisman HaZeh especially, but also even in the earliest times, was that really the number one consideration? That Toshia is lost because the wife is lost. Why? Because you're torn with things that are Gashmi that she would have taken care of, and now there's nobody to do. So what about the value of a wife? Can we say today, Shari Bloy Isha, Shari Bloy Taira? Or do we say today that everyone today would be masking Rechayim B'Tzavaro V'Yasek B'Taira? That's the question that I'm asking, and Bezus Hashem, Yisbarach, we're going to continue next time.